Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Since before Roe v. Wade, an abortion provider's memoir by Steven Isinger, M.D., F-A-C-O-Q, was written with clarity, humor, and passion. This memoir presents an accurate picture of abortion to the public, including the medical and psychological realities for patients and providers, and fearlessly addresses the complex issues surrounding abortion. The doctor envisions his work becoming a useful resource, a source of information. He says, in our current overheated national discussion about abortion, well, we need an accurate, compassionate, honest account of abortion. Steven Isinger, M.D., graduated from the University of Michigan Medical School in 1971, completed his OBGYN residency at the University of Wisconsin in 1975, and joined the faculty of the University of Rochester, Department of OBGYN and Family Medicine in 1977. He has a lifetime of experience in abortion providing, starting in 1971, before Roe versus Wade. He was the author of and responsible for the designing the safety protocols for a nationwide scientific study of the abortion pill. The study persuaded the National Scientific Study, persuaded the FDA to approve that drug in 2000. Dr. Isinger has since prescribed the drug for thousands of women. Dr. Steven Isinger, author of Since Before Roe v. Wade, an abortion provider's memoir, is our guest on This Week in America. Doctor, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
What was the inspiration for this? Why did you feel, after all these years, now is the time to try to bring some civility to this discussion, and you decided to write the book? What was the motivation?
Motivation was always there. It was the drive to get going. I was writing this book probably for the last 20 or 30 years in my head.
Yes.
But as events unfolded nationally and as the abortion pill came on the scene, I became more and more convinced that I needed to write the book. Then I got started. And I got started because I had to close my clinic as part of retirement. But the events around the closure were difficult. And I was then invited to a meeting of NOW, the National Organization of Women. And at the meeting, they presented me with an award and gave me a standing ovation for service to women. And somebody said, you should write a book about all this. So that's when I started.
That was the impetus to begin the process for writing the doctor's book, Since Before Roe v. Wade, an abortion provider's memoir. Book is available wherever books are sold. He's got a Facebook page as well. We will give you that information as we go through the conversation here. Talk about the writing process. How long did it take? Obviously, in your mind, you've been doing this for decades, but when you sat down and seriously worked on it to produce the book, how long a process was this?
It took me 6 years. I wrote the book starting with no plan. I just started to write, mostly stories. And gradually, the manuscript grew and grew, and I made feeble attempts to order it, but didn't get serious about ordering it until about 6 years ago. And then I had a giant manuscript of 150,000 words. I felt that I needed an editor to help me put it all together in a coherent fashion. But that's when I formally started writing it. Much of it was already written.
The book is available wherever books are sold. The guest on the program today is the author, Dr. Steven Isinger. That's E-I-S-I-N-G-E-R. Book available wherever books are sold. A link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's begin the conversation of contents of the book with this. Should abortion be illegal, or should it be readily available for all women in America? What's your thought of availability of abortion?
That's easy. I think abortion should be readily available to all American women. I think it's a woman's choice. It's control and agency over her own body. It's part of healthcare for women, and I strongly support the legality of abortion.
What about
That's
those
simple.
that say it's dangerous? You've been doing this for decades before Roe v. Wade, and you talk about the fact you've never had a problem. Talk about the dangers, if there are a dangers, of abortion.
Every medical procedure has risks, and abortion has risks in all of its forms. Those risks are relatively low, in fact, very low, and compared to the alternative, they are much lower. The alternative to abortion is childbirth. Now, I'm not opposed to childbirth. I've delivered thousands and thousands of babies, and I love doing it. Childbirth is somewhat dangerous. In the United States, there is a significant maternal mortality rate associated with pregnancy and birth. And that's true in every country. The United States happens to have the highest maternal mortality rate of any of the developed countries, something that we should be ashamed of.
Yeah, I just want to ask you, because some people would go, that can't be right. Say that again, and why do you think that is? That's shocking that we would lead the world, unfortunately, in that category.
Well, our healthcare system is badly flawed in many ways,
yes.
But let me not get into that too much. That's for another time.
Another book.
The death rate of abortion is exceedingly low. In the United States, it is a fraction of a percent per 100,000 abortions. If you compare the death rate of abortion to the death rate of childbirth or pregnancy and childbirth is 43 times more likely to result in death than abortion.
That's an amazing statistic. In talking about abortion, I'm talking about your particular case over the years. Did you ever lose an abortion patient?
I've never lost an abortion patient. I've lost patients. I've lost childbirth patients, pregnant patients. I've lost patients after cancer and surgery. I did medical legal work for a long time, and I consulted in a case of abortion death, which is in the book. This is one of the stories in the book. I have another story of abortion death, which was local. It was in my town of Rochester, New York, but it was not my case. So I'm not unfamiliar with death from abortion, but it's a very rare event, thankfully.
The book is Since Before Roe v. Wade, an abortion provider's memoir. The author, Stephen Eisinger, is our guest on the program today. You mentioned this before. I've mentioned it again. I think it's a very important part. Is abortion health care?
Yes, of course. Women's health is dependent on their ability to control their own reproductive status, and pregnancy can be dangerous, awful, unwanted. Women who are pregnant and don't want to be pregnant are in a spot, in a bad situation, and abortion is the solution. There's another solution, of course, which is prevention. Maybe we'll get into that.
Yeah, that's an important part of it, and addressed in Doctor's book, Since Before Roe v. Wade. Women, are they, when they come to talk to you about an abortion, this is a very difficult decision for everyone involved. Are they ambivalent about having an abortion? And do they, have you heard where they regret it afterwards?
Yes, ambivalent and regret. Ambivalence is common. People come into an abortion clinic and they're afraid, they're not sure, they don't know what to expect. I estimate that perhaps a third of women come in with significant ambivalence. That's just a subjective judgment on my part. Afterwards, regret is something else. Of course, some women do regret it. The phenomenon of severe regret is very rare in my experience. I've encountered it maybe a handful of times in my entire lengthy career. Most women, after an abortion, go through some kind of process of grieving and healing and then they get on with their lives. And this I see in post-abortion women time and time again, and is the norm.
I mentioned the work that you did on the abortion pill. Talk about that. Is that safe? And again, you would know probably better than anyone because of all the research and the work that you did in the testing and ultimately the approval. Talk about the abortion pill.
The abortion pill is called mifepristone, MIF for short, or MIFI. And I was lucky enough to be at the University of Rochester, where we had a research program going to study abortion pills, medication abortions. And we were able to access mifepristone and start extensive studies on MIFI for abortion. I was the safety officer for these studies. Who better to know whether it's safe or not?
Yes.
I designed the protocols in the studies. What should we do if this emergency or that complication occurred, and then I was the one expected to fix things if something went wrong. Our big study was a multi-center study, seven centers around the country, involving about 1,000 patients. We gave them the pill, and we followed them closely until after they had completed the abortion. And the rate of complication was exceedingly low. I was braced for problems, and they just didn't occur. It's all in the book. The abstract of the study is published in the book. That study was published in a scientific journal in 1999, and the FDA used it to approve of the mifepristone pill for abortion in the year 2000.
All of that is in the doctor's book, Since Before Roe v.
Wade.
It's all in the book. Very detailed. It's a very common sense, honest, accurate approach to abortion, the topic of our program today. Also, a lot of stories. Talk about some of maybe the more compelling abortion stories that would shed some light on the average person as to what happens when a patient goes through emotionally as well as physically.
The book is full of stories. I don't know how many stories there are. There are one-liners. There are stories that are several pages long. There must be 140 or 150 stories in the book. And many of them are about abortion. You want to hear a couple of abortion
stories?
Yes,
please, please.
Okay. So a woman comes in. She's educated. She has a good job. At her job, she and a bunch of fellow co-workers got together and went off to a seaside rented house for a crazy weekend. And she was drinking the night before, the first night at the house, along with all the others, I think. And suddenly her memory lapses. She remembers nothing more until she wakes up the next morning. She's naked, except for underpants, which are on inside out and backwards. Her clothes are in a pile by the bed. She has no idea what's happened. She spent the rest of the weekend drinking a lot, but didn't have sex with anybody that she's aware of. After she got back to Rochester in a few weeks, she became aware that she was pregnant. And she did a pregnancy test. It was positive. So she thought about it. She tried to abort herself by drinking more. This was not a very suitable plan on her part. So she showed up in our clinic, and I met with her and talked with her. And she told her story in a kind of monotone, eyes cast downward. And some of her ideation struck me as potentially suicidal. This was a woman in distress, and her expression was anguished, and I became very alarmed. I offered her emergency psychiatric referral. She refused. I told her she should get in touch with Rape Crisis Center. I got a little directive there. I said I would make the call for her if she wished, but she needed help right away. She was there, of course, for an abortion. And she wanted to go through with it. She decided on the pill. So I gave her the pill, which she took, and she did well. And when I saw her next, I saw her on short notice. Usually I bring patients back in 2 weeks. I asked her to come back in 3 days. She was doing better. She was drinking less. She was more functional at work. And she was starting the healing process and recovering from the experience. So, and I think psychologically she was recovering from her yes. Depression and despair. So that's a story. It's in the book. Another story would be a little different. That would be an 11-year-old girl. Believe it or not, an 11-year-old. Wow. She was an immigrant from Southeast Asia, didn't speak English, impregnated again by rape, a relative in her home, and she was brought in by family. Their concern was that she should not carry the pregnancy because she would be in danger. Her community might ostracize her or even attack her, even murder her if they found out she was pregnant. So there was some urgency to do an abortion for this poor young child. And I did that abortion surgically in the operating room with the patient under anesthesia. I didn't want to reproduce the attack by doing a surgical procedure on a preteen.
Yes.
And she wasn't suitable for the pill. So there's another story.
And there's so many of stories like that. It's abortion. It's more than guys carrying signs around and protesting. These are real people that have gone through real life situations. Just two of the examples in Dr. Isinger's book, Since Before Roe v. Wade, book available wherever books are sold. Doctor, what's the difference between abortion and miscarriage?
Ah, big difference. Abortion is the intentional termination of a pregnancy. Miscarriage is the loss of a pregnancy in the first 20 weeks, which is involuntary or natural. It's not something that you bring on intentionally. So they're very different in cause and effect. Technically, the procedure for an abortion is either surgery or the pill, and the procedure to treat the miscarriage is either surgery or the pill. In fact, the treatments are the same. So it's sometimes hard to distinguish which you're doing to an observer, that is, an outside person.
Yes.
Who is aware that a woman has had a suction DNC or has taken medication to the mifepristone to terminate a pregnancy. One is elective, that is, it's chosen by the patient, that's abortion. Treatment of a miscarriage is medical treatment like any other, risks, benefits, and alternatives, but something that good doctors do in the best interests of their patients.
You talk in the book about, and you mentioned it at the beginning when we were talking at the beginning of the conversation, the abortion clinic. What was the abortion clinic like? What area were you serving? And give us some of the thoughts on the abortion clinic. Certainly not a normal day going into work when you've got to put on a bulletproof vest some of the time to go to work. What was that like at the clinic?
Well, my clinic was set up by me, for me, and I tried to incorporate everything I thought was right and proper in an abortion clinic. Before that time, I did abortions. I did them at Planned Parenthood. I did them in a clinic that I shared with many other physicians. And I thought I could draw the best from those clinics and incorporate that in my clinic, which some people accused me of running a boutique clinic. It was nice. It was very nice. But we took all patients, including those with no insurance and no money. So I don't think we were fully boutique. Concerning the risks, abortion providers are at risk. People want to kill you. So you have to take precautions and run risks. I was never attacked. I had an episode where I was crossing the parking lot at the hospital, and I saw a guy who was also crossing the parking lot, and he looked angry. And our paths were going to cross, and I thought, okay, this is it. How do I defend myself? And we walked toward each other. we walked toward each other. We passed each other. He said hello and got in his car and drove away. So he wasn't planning on attacking me. He
But
was just a guy crossing the parking
you were
lot.
thinking the worst because of what you have seen, the threats that have been made. That's an amazing story. You're all set to have to defend yourself. Guest in the program is Dr. Steven Isinger. He is the author of Since Before Roe v. Wade and Abortion Providers' Memoir. Let's talk a little bit about adoption. That's one that's mentioned. Don't do the abortion, have an adoption. Talk about the role of adoption, especially with the mindset of the patients that came to you at the clinic.
Well, when a woman gets pregnant, she has three basic options: have the baby and adopt it out. The first option is have the baby and keep it, have the baby and adopt it out, or have an abortion. Those are the three basic options, and it ought to be her choice. I'm pro-adoption. I have an adopted grandson. I believe in adoption. I brokered adoptions. In my non-abortion professional life, I supervised a large active obstetric clinic. It was at the Family Medicine Center in Rochester, and we had lots and lots of pregnant women that we delivered. And some of those young women decided to adopt the baby out. And I also, in my gynecologic practice, did a lot of infertility. So I was able to link women who wanted to adopt a baby out with infertility patients who were having trouble getting pregnant. And that was a joyous experience for me. I loved it. And we had some great successes. So adoption is an option. It has many pleasures and advantages. There are some downsides to adoption. There are things that can go wrong. I don't know if we want to get into that today. But it's a live option for a woman who's pregnant. It's her choice.
And that's outlined in the doctor's book, Since Before Roe v. Wade. As he's talking,
I
you
devote.
understand why he is such an authority on this. He has seen so much in his practice over the decades since before Roe v. Wade. Are there discussions of any stories in your book, issues other than abortion?
Other than abortion, indeed.
Yes.
I had a lively obstetric practice. I was the OB consultant for the family medicine program. That was a residency program training family physicians. And we had a very active obstetric practice. My job was to consult on all complications. So I'd be sleeping in my bed soundly at night, and I'd get a call from a resident. There was a patient in labor and some serious complication was up, and would I rush into the hospital and take care of things? So that was my life for 46 years. It was very exciting, it was very rewarding. I loved working with the residents, and the patients were extremely diverse. I loved working with them. So I saw every kind of complication, and I did a lot of C-sections. I had the highest C-section rate in the hospital, which is usually considered a sign of overreacting. But in my case, it was because almost every patient I saw was in the middle of a serious complication.
You mentioned this before, and the time is going by so quickly, and I want to get this one in. Unwanted pregnancy, how to prevent? You touched on that briefly before as we were discussing another topic. How can one prevent an unwanted pregnancy?
How can one prevent?
Yeah, prevent.
Yes. Well, use birth control. Birth control is readily available. It's very effective. Like everything else in medicine, it has risks and rewards. But basically, for the great number of women out there, it's going to be safe. There's a birth control method that's safe for her and that she can use. So I'm a great advocate in birth control. I've used every form of birth control there is in my practice. That would include the IUD, the birth control pill, the Nexplanon implant, the patch. I've done sterilizations, that is a tubal ligation or tying the tubes. And there's quite an array of choices that women have. And they're all good. Some of them are better than others. And a good physician or a care provider can sit down with a woman and go over these and help her choose what she needs to use. Our abortion clinic provided every form of birth control we could. And they all work, but they all have a failure rate.
Yes. Time has gone by so quickly. I want to squeeze a couple more questions in here while, and these are all, I think, very important topics for the listener. What's your opinion of mail order abortion pills? And there's been a big discussion of that and banning that and restricting that. Mail order abortion pills. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't have any personal experience with that. I haven't done it or supervised it. I'm very leery of the mail order abortion pill. I gave the pill in a clinical setting, you know, doctor gives it to the patient and then follows up in short term. There's enough that goes wrong in the pill process and enough that's puzzling and worrisome to patients that they deserve, I think, a place to go if they're having a problem or someone to call if they're having a problem. There are enough serious complications that a woman out in the wilderness taking the pill with no medical backup could face danger. So I'm not a big fan of the mail order. Now, if that's the only way a woman can get it, then I guess that's the way it has to be. But it's a cruel imposition on women to face additional risk when it could be prescribed by a qualified medical provider with backup in case something goes wrong.
A number of issues I thought that we made great progress over the last couple of decades. Battles were won, progress was made. Now we see that reversing. What's your thought of legislation that would suppress abortion? And are you confident that abortion will be legal going forward?
I'm not confident at all. I'm following the political scene regarding abortion very closely, and it's quite discouraging. To answer your question, what's my opinion? I think that women should be allowed to, should be entitled to make decisions for themselves. Legislators sitting in their cushy seats should keep their hands off women's bodies. They impose dangers, hardships, and cruelty. So that's it in a nutshell. There's more.
Well, there's so much more in the book. We're just very lightly touched on some of the topics. The book is Since Before Roe v. Wade, an abortion provider's memoir. Book is available wherever books are sold, and you can pick up a copy and get all of the information. A link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And the doctor has a Facebook page. If you go to Facebook and Since Before Roe v. Wade book, and that will take you and give you information, you can order the book there as well. And I thank King Pages Press for arranging our conversation with Dr. Isinger today. Doctor, it's been a pleasure. Boy, we just touched the surface, but you've got so much great information.
We just touched the surface.
Yes,
we did indeed.
And the book is there, and it comes from someone who's been there from the very beginning. In fact, before the beginning, before Roe v. Wade, that has seen it from a number of angles. He's been there with the abortion pill from the beginning, a very honest, accurate look at abortion. It's something we all need to look at. Shut off all the noise going on and read the book. Doctor, so much more to talk about. Hopefully we can do parts 2, 3, 4 of this and cover the topic. It's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Rick.
You're welcome. Our guest is Steven Isinger. That's E-I-S-I-N-G-E-R. The book is Since Before Roe v. Wade. It's available wherever books are sold. Amazon, we've got the Amazon page on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Information, of course, on Facebook, as I mentioned as well. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.